Thank you, brother, for sharing that with us. That's the heart of the intent and the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus as a babe through the womb of a virgin, to create within us a longing, a desire to know the Lord, to hear from Him, to plead with Him to use us, to fill us and to send us on the journey. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 1. We'll read two verses this morning that we're going to center down on, and then we may look at a few verses that would precede this passage. And we're asking the Lord to teach us this morning, what is Christmas? What is it all about? I don't believe it's about Santa Claus. I don't believe it's about the giving of gifts. I don't believe it's about decorations and how glamorous that we can be. I think Christmas has an extremely deeper meaning. And what we're going to look at today is that very thing, in the aspect of what it means to be delivered and to be delighted in being dangerously strong for the Lord. And I believe in this passage of Scripture, which is one of the clearest, in my estimation, of what it really means and why Jesus Christ came to die and rescue our life. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 74 and verse number 75. If you would stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Standing does nothing for us, but it does allow us to recognize the fact that we have a copy of the Scriptures before us. God's Word that He's breathed and that He's inspired and led men of old, holy men, as the Bible would say, to pen and inscribe that we would know and understand the intent and purpose of our great King, our God. Verse 74 says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Father, Lord, we come before You right now with a desire to be taught the very truths that we have just read. Lord, our longing is to know You. And to know You, we must hear from You. So, Father, we ask in You to speak to us today that we can see the very intent and the glory of Your coming, that, Lord, we may know the purpose of why You rescued our life. So, God, we come before You today asking You to open our mind, to give us understanding and wisdom that we may comprehend the Scriptures, O God. We ask for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to be placed upon our ears and upon our eyes and upon our heart and our mind, that we may see You and know You and recognize and discern, Lord. We want to discern Your way and the way You work today. We want to be a people who delights in being strong, dangerously strong for You. So God, we can't be ignorant of Your truth. So we beg You and plead with You by the mercy promised to our fathers and by the covenant that You remembered in Christ, Lord, that You would grant us the deliverance so that we could hear and know. We give You our life today. We present it to You as a living sacrifice. I present this message and ask You to anoint me to be able to preach as You see fit. And that, Lord, You would move upon Your people. Stir their hearts and teach them. And we'd be forever grateful and thankful. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name. We ask You to do it according to Your grace. We ask You to launch us out and propel us into the life of faith, and holiness, and righteous living. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This particular passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning is a prophetic word that Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, began to prophesy on the day that his mouth was loosed by the Lord, and he began to be able to proclaim and declare that his son's name would be John, and God would what we have here is the very leading of the Spirit in what God is about to say. So if you look in verse number 67, we'll read up to verse 74 and ask God to help us with this. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel." Like I said earlier, today's really the only day we have the blessing. Right now is the only time we have the blessing. The only time we have to give God a eulogy is right now, to bless the Lord, to honor Him, to fall before Him and promote Him with great weight and heaviness. He says, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." As He proclaimed this message under the Holy Ghost inspiration, He spoke in past tense because of the fact that God had came and already touched the womb of a young virgin by the name of Mary, and overshadowed her with power, and conceived within her womb the child that would come, whose name is Emmanuel. And as he proclaimed under the Spirit's guidance, he said, "The Lord has already redeemed his people." As we learned last week in our study, that our names, which was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That is because our Savior, our Emmanuel, our great King and God, Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the Master and Deliverer, our Redeemer, was slain before the foundation of the world. So as he proclaimed this, he says in verse number 69, "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." He's raised up strength, a strength. The word horn is a metaphor used to symbolize the animals that bear horns. And the idea is of a strength. And not only that, it's also a symbolic picture of what they would use. They would place the oil of anointing in a horn. And when God would anoint the king or anoint the prophet, he would take the oil from the horn and he would pour it on the head of the prophet or the king, which would symbolize the presence of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God for a specific task. And we know that our Jesus is our anointed king. Amen. And he is our Redeemer. And notice what he says in verse number 70. He says he does this as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved. Or literally, that we should be delivered. We should be safe. We should be delivered from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. God sent his Son to deliver us, folks. Not only to deliver us from those who are our enemies, but also those who hate us, from the power of the hand who hate us. You know, there are certain people and certain things and certain principalities and powers. We know without question the enemy, Satan, and all his entourage, all his rulers in the darkness and the heavenly places, we know they hate us. Amen? We know that they would do everything in their power because they hate God and because we belong to Him. They automatically, without question, hate us, and they are anti-God. And there are people out there who literally hate the people of God and hate everything about them. But there are other people out there who are enemies of God that we may not know right off that they're enemies of God, but God has promised us deliverance from those who we don't even know who the enemies of God. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing for me. Why? Because there's always tricksters in the crowd. There's always those deceivers in the crowd, kind of like Judas Iscariot, for an example, who sat at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. And as he sat there, Jesus spoke, said, "There will be one who is sitting among us that will betray me." He says, "He who dips his bread in me." And we know that it was Judas. But those that sat around the table didn't know that it was Judas. Those who sat with him, the other disciples, didn't know Judas was an enemy of God and a threat to the work that was about to be accomplished. They didn't know Judas was a pawn in the hand of the enemy himself. And the Bible says on that night of the Last Supper that Satan entered in and provoked and propelled Judas to go out and to accomplish what had been tasked for him to do. Folks, there may be a trickster sitting under the sound of my voice today. They just gathering information and plotting But I want to tell you right now, and I tell you in the sweet name of Jesus, authority and power, God's delivered me from you. Amen. He's told me, He has set me free and delivered and rescued my life from all the hands of the enemy and those who hate us who belong to the Lord. So I want to have confidence in the Lord in this place today to know that whether you are a trickster or you are a friend of God, God has delivered His people, my friend, from the hand of those who hate us and the enemy. That's rejoicing, O church. You ought to say amen to that. And rejoice because God has freed you. Not for your sake, but for His glory. Notice what he says in verse number 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. The oath which He swore to our father Abraham. So we see literally a threefold process in here. To perform the covenant promises of God's loving kindness, His steadfast love that He promised to our father Phil, and also to remember His covenant, that God is faithful, a faithful God, to fulfill what He's promised to do to us, and also to grant that we, being delivered, notice, from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So here we go. This is what we want to look at. Delivered and delighted to be deemed wrong for the truth. Delivered and delighted. You know, that's what He came to do, to deliver you, to set you free, so that you can walk in power and might and of His grace, and to be dangerously strong for His truth on the earth. Jesus didn't come so that we can go buy gifts on another. Jesus didn't come so that we can decorate our tree and put a crown or a star on top of it. Jesus didn't come so that we can exhaust our checkbook and go out and get broke over these holidays. Jesus came to deliver us from the system of this old world and set us free so that we could follow Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. I want to tell you there's a few things that we need to understand today. Jesus came to deliver us from something, but He also came to deliver us to something. And what is that? What did He come to deliver us from? But before we get into that, I want to let you know right up, there are a few things that we have not been delivered from while we're walking in this earth. Number one, you write this down. We have not been delivered from the reality of sin. We have not been delivered from the reality of sin. Folks, sin is an enemy of God. Amen? It's missing the mark with the Lord. But we have not been delivered from reality. Now, what do I mean by the reality of sin? I mean, we have not been delivered from the presence of sin, Philip. Sin is reality in our day. We have not been delivered from the presence of it. There is a day, though, that the Bible says that nothing defiled or nothing that is an abomination shall enter into the gates of a new heaven and a new earth. And there's coming a day. Now listen to me. There's coming a day that we will be utterly delivered completely and totally from the presence and reality of sin. Amen. And that for a believer that is thirsty, for a believer that knows and cries out for God to deliver him from this old vile body and this vile creation that we live in, that one day, there's coming a day, Brother Eddie, where we'll be able to worship the Lord unadulterated with the flesh. That there's coming a day that there will be no temptation of the enemy. There will be no sin. And that we'll be able to see the Lord high and lifted up in His glory. And we won't have to say like the prophet Isaiah said, "Oh Lord, I live in the midst of a land of unclean lips and I have unclean lips." No, we will be clean and whole and blameless and pure before the God, bowing before Him in adoration and worship with no sin present whatsoever. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? But folks, as we trod the streets of this world, we'll never escape the reality or the presence of sin. There's another thing that we won't escape or we're not delivered from as of yet. It will happen, but we are not delivered from the result of sin. We see sin's result all around us. I mean, we see it all around us. I used to be one of the greatest participators of the reality and the results of sin. I used to do things on my own. I did what I wanted to do. I went where I wanted to go. I drank what I wanted to drink. It's what I wanted to watch. I looked pornography. I did all these things, the absolute result of the fall of man, the depravity and the wickedness of the heart. I was filled with it. And if you've ever been redeemed, you can say, I was filled with it too. Oh, you may have not looked at pornography the way that I did, or you may have not drank alcohol the way that I did, or you may have not been a whoremonger the way that I was in my mind, but you, I want to tell you, you was tainted with sin because you was born in iniquity. You was depraved by nature. And you was bent on sin. You was rebellious in your heart, and you rebelled toward your parents. You rebelled toward the government. You rebelled toward teachers. You was just rebellious in your heart. You may have acted like you wasn't, but deep down, somebody told you to do something. You may have did it, but in your heart, you didn't want to do it. Have you ever been that way before? Rebellious. That's the result of the fall of man. That's the result of sin. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. We can't escape it, man. There's coming a day, if the Lord doesn't tarry, is coming, that either you may get to see me buried or I may get to see you buried. That's the result of sin. We're not going to escape that on this earth. We won't escape the result of sin, which is death. We're surrounded by it. We see mamas leaving their children to go party, and daddies leaving their little boys and selling them off so they can go and live how they want. We see them going to the hunting woods or going to the shopping malls or doing this or doing that while a world around them is perishing and falling away. Why? It's the result of sin, folks. Jesus came to deliver us from the enemy, but we're not going to be delivered from that. From the result of it. And there's a third thing that I want you to write down. Listen to me. Not only the reality of sin, Ken. Mr. Dwight, the result of sin. But we have a desperate problem. We're not going to be delivered from the reach of temptation as long as we live in this world. Listen to me. Jesus didn't come to deliver us from temptation. He came to deliver us through it. Amen? Listen to him. You're going to be tempted as long as you live in this old world. You're going to be tempted to want to watch this and listen to that and smoke this and talk like this. And you're going to be tempted to run this down and lift this up. And you're going to be tempted to exalt iniquity. And you're going to be tempted to all these things. But I want to tell you, Jesus did come to deliver us. We don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the temptations that come upon us. We don't have to act on them, but you'll never be free from them as long as you live in this body. That's a great comfort to me to know. Because, hey, just like you, just like me, we're all tempted by things in this world, in this life. And just because I'm tempted doesn't mean that I'm sinning. When you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. It's how you act on the temptation that you have. We need to know that. The Bible says if we'll walk according to the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, you're not going to get away from the lust of the flesh and temptation as long as you live in this body. And as long as you live in this world. There's always going to be a draw. There's always going to be a tug. There's always going to be something that tempts you. But I want to tell you what, Jesus delivered us from the corruption of the flesh. We don't have to fulfill it, folks. We don't have to. So let me ask this question. What then has Jesus delivered us from? Well, let's say this. He's delivered us from the penalty of sin, hadn't he? Amen. He's pardoned us, folks. He's delivered us. Penalty and the influence or the power of sin. Sin doesn't have to have a power over me anymore. Amen? Listen to me. All because of Jesus coming and delivering us from the hand of our enemies, the strength and the influence and the authority of our enemies. Hey, he's come to deliver us from that. We don't have to give in, Miss Robbie, to the influence of sin. I may be tempted by it, but that's not sin. I don't have to act on it. Sin has no power over me when I'm yielded unto the power of the deliverance in Christ Jesus. That's shouting ground. That's something to get excited about. You see, the Bible says a carnal mind or a natural mind, Sabrina, is enmity before the throne of God. It's literally an enemy of the Lord. The Bible also says fondness or friendliness with this world is enmity or an adversary to the Lord. And listen what it says in James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Listen, he who wants to be a friend who wants to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. It didn't say you had to be a friend of the world. It says he who wants to be a friend of the world. You see, Jesus came to deliver me from the want to be. Amen. He's done something in me so I don't have to want to be a friend of the world anymore. I can be totally His, yielding Him, passionate, and pursuing Him with all my heart and all my strength. Why? Because that's what Jesus came to do. To deliver me from the penalty and the power of sin. You see, the penalty of sin is death, isn't it? Oh, I'll see. But I have no fear of death anymore. Amen, Brother Eddie? You know what the Bible says in particular in 1 John chapter 4? That perfect love does something. Perfect love casts out fear. And therefore, in the day of judgment, the Bible says that I could come with confidence and boldness because my righteousness is not of me. My righteousness has been imputed to me and it's been imparted to me. So I have a boldness and a confidence that when I approach the throne of God, I don't approach in my own strength and in my own ways, because there's coming a day that I will have to give an account for my deeds and what I've done, and only that which is done by the grace of God will enter in the work of the Lord, because nothing defiled will enter in. The fires of the judgment seat of Christ will burn those away, but I could approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness, Lydia, because the perfect love of God has cast out the fear of judgment. I'm an heir to the throne of God. He is my Father. He is my Dad. He is my Abba Father, who the Spirit of God wells and yearns and groans within me to get to the place where He has full control over my life. But I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear death. The Bible says that the enemy, Satan, has held all men in torment over the fact of death. Death is an enemy to the people of God, but God's delivered me from death. Amen? The Bible says, he who believes upon Him shall never die. Absent from the body is presence with the Lord. You see, but being I've been delivered from death, and the wages of sin is death, I've been delivered from the desire to want to be a friend with this old world. So I can honestly say that God came to deliver us not only from sin, but from society. Hadn't He come to deliver us from the sway of society? If you were like me, I was a son of disobedience. I was children of wrath. I was a child of wrath of the fall. And I was under the sway and the power of the evil one. That meant that my life wasn't subject to the lordship of Christ. I did what I wanted to do. So therefore, I was described as being a kid, a child of the enemy who was disobedient as a way of living. But Jesus came to deliver me from that. You see, because society is an enemy to God. Jesus said He came to give witness to the truth on this earth. He told His brothers in John chapter 7, He said this. He said, look, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem because the world, they're going to hate me. Why will they hate me? They can't hate you because you're of the world. But they will hate me because I come and expose that the things that are involved in this world are evil. Their works are evil. And when you begin to tell the world around you that their works are contrary to the things of God, people don't like that, do they? That's why Jesus said, I've chosen you. I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit and your fruit to remain. And listen to me, if I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit because you're no longer of the world will hate you. If it hated me, it's going to hate you. You see, Jesus came to deliver us from society, the system that works and governs the principles and the elements of this world. He came to deliver us from that. So therefore, I can say in this place today that not only does He deliver us from sin and deliver us from society, but He also delivers us from the power of Satan, doesn't He? Oh, if you know the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, the Bible says that Jesus came to deliver us from the authority or the power of darkness and to translate us or to move us into the kingdom of the love of His Son. So that would mean that I understand, as Colossians 3 would teach me, And Colossians 2 would teach me that God has done something in Christ and that disarmed the enemy over my life. You see, if I've been delivered from society, which how he uses this world to work his ways, and if I've been delivered from sin as a whole, from the power of it and from the penalty of it, that means that I can be delivered from the power and the authority of Satan. That's a shout right there, amen? That literally, as I subject myself and yield myself to the Lord, I don't have to give in to the enemy and his ways and his wiles and his schemes. God has delivered me from his power because he is the rival enemy to the things of God, and he is the one influencing this world that's an enemy of God, and he's the one that influenced sin in the beginning, and death through sin entered the world. So I can have victory over Satan himself as I yield to the intent and the purpose of Christ's coming. But there's a problem. I have to realize the problem is not sin. The problem is not society. The problem is not Satan. You know where the problem lies? Self. That's right. Y'all been taught? Yeah. Everybody pointing at themselves. The problem is with us. But folks, see, we, our old man, our old nature, you want to know what it is? It's an enemy of God. Listen to me. But the enemy has no longer authority or power over. The Bible says, put off the old man and be clothed with the new man. If I would just yield myself unto the Lordship of Jesus and give Him what I am and let Him begin to establish my thoughts for me, begin to transform my mind and the way that I think, if I would just let God do a work, what He's planned to deliver me to, look, I can be delivered from self, amen. Oh, if I could grab a hold of this here, Gray. Robin, if you would grab a hold of this, if we would all come to the realization that this is a biblical truth, that we can be delivered from ourselves. If we let God do a work in our life to set us free, and this is what Christmas is all about. This is what Jesus came to do. He literally came to deliver you from yourself, amen. Because if you keep going your way, there is a way that seems right to men, but in the way thereof, it only leads to death. Folks, He came to set you free from this. You are your worst problem. You are your worst enemy. You are the enemy of God when you're walking naturally with the carnal mind. And the Bible tells us that without apology whatsoever, Jesus came to make a group of people who would be delivered from self. They would not be under the influence of Satan, nor of this society, nor of sin any longer. He came to deliver us from that. Now I want to ask the question in here, how many of us are walking in the deliverance of God? Oh, if I was to ask you, what about Metro Ambulance? And they went out to a wrecked car, and there was a great wreck where people were injured and many people were hurt. And they came to that wreck and they looked in it and they just showed up, but they didn't reach in and deliver anybody from the wreckage and from the damage. What would we think about that? That would be a travesty, wouldn't it? Matter of fact, if a trained firefighter, a trained police, or a trained emergency care person, a trained nurse like Robin would show up to a scene and not respond to the way that she's been taught to respond to it, what would that mean? She lose her license for that. She could potentially go to jail for that. Why? Because she didn't act properly to the way she's been trained to act. So I want you to think about it. We would put people in jail who would not step in and try to deliver people from damage and from dying and from a car wreck or from a fire that is burning and consuming a house. And folks, we would automatically say, no, they can't. They have to respond to that. And folks, why do we question the fact that Jesus came to deliver us from ourselves? Why do we question the fact that He came to deliver us from the power and the rightful authority of Satan over our life? You see, because you know why we question it? This is what we question. Well, I'm only human. I'm only human. Everybody else does it. Everybody else goes out and everybody else does this and everybody else participates in this and everybody else is involved in this and everybody else does this. I'm only human. Listen, can you see you have to deliver from self when you think that'll happen? Listen to me. What would Metro Ambulance do, or what would Robin or one of these nurses or a doctor or a trained emergency responder do? They would do everything they can to go in and rescue them from harm's way and danger, Brother Ed. But not only rescue them from it, but then they would make every effort to deliver them to someone that could properly take care of them and help them. Are you with me? Isn't that what they do? Isn't that when you see Metro run down Zero Road, you know that they go into someone's house that is in harm's way. There's something that is hindering them, whether it be a stroke or a heart attack or another problem, a cut or a gunshot. Know that when they go and when they come back by and they've got their sirens on and they run in at mock speed, you know they went and retrieved somebody and now they're on the process to go deliver them to someone who could help them. Amen? You see, Jesus, He came to deliver us from sin, society, Satan, self, any enemy, any authority that's over us besides Him. He came to deliver us. But He delivers us to something. What does He deliver us to? He delivers us to unashamed and unadulterated service. Listen, you can't claim the fact that Jesus delivered you from sin if you've not been delivered to serving Him. Amen? Just listen to our passage here. I mean, it's clear. He came to grant us, it is of a gracious granting us that we would be delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might what? Serve Him. That literally means to minister to Him, to worship and adore Him, to worship Him without fear. Why? Jeannie, perfect love cast out what? Fear. So we have no fear of serving Him, but we are to serve Him in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Not serving part-time. Not serving sometimes. Not serving on Sunday mornings. Not serving when I feel like it or don't feel like it. I mean, He says that we serve Him not just all the days of our life. That means all the time. Brother Wayne, that means that He has delivered me to a place that I could literally serve Him. Why? Why did He deliver me from something, Jeanette, and deliver me from something, Joey? Why? Because the Bible says I am His workmanship. In Christ Jesus, I am the workmanship of God. I am the artwork or the product of God. He's created me in Christ Jesus for good works before the foundation of the world. Amen? I mean, He delivered me to something. He forcefully rescued me and delivered me forcefully into service of the kingdom. Literally, the word deliver here means drag away by force. I normally would illustrate this by either grabbing Brother Eddie or grabbing Stephanie and dragging them out. It's a literal, somebody is in a burning house or a wrecked car or taken captive by another group or a terrorist group. When the military would go in, they would go in with force and they would go in with authority. And they would go in for one intent, that is to rescue at whatever the cost, to drag out that victim and place them in a safe place. And folks, that's what Jesus has come to do for us. He entered this world and went through this old ugly, dead, sinful world and went through it blameless and above reproach, without sin before the throne of God, and laid His life a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. No man took His life. He laid it down for us and shed His pure blood for us so that He would forcefully take us from the rightful authority of Satan and the dominion that he had over our life and to drag us away from His authority and His power. Literally, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4 would say that He came to deliver us, to tear us apart, to tear us out, to deliver us from this present world. Isn't that something? whom the enemy has authority over, so that we can go to war. I question all people who claim they have salvation in Christ, but have not been delivered to serve Him all the days of their life. You see, faith without works, that kind of faith, the Bible says, is a dead faith. Because faith alone is what we're saved by. We're saved by grace, but that's through faith alone. But faith itself is never alone. Amen. If I believe, I'm going to obey. If I'm His, I'm going to follow. If I belong to Him, I'm going to submit to Him. He's delivered us from something to deliver us to something. Unashamed, unadulterated service. Now think about this. Say unashamed. Because tell me it's without fear. Unashamed service. As we was reading through the book of Joel, what did he say? He who calls on the name of the Lord shall never be put to what? Shame. What does that mean? He'll never be put on the run. He's never going to be embarrassed by the Lord. He's never going to be ashamed of Him or for Him. He's not going to be put on the run. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that means on His nature, His sovereignty, His strength, His power, His shall never be put to shame. They're never going to be put on the run. So we can literally say today that when He delivers us from something, He delivers us to something, and that is service that is without shame. But man, we delight. We delight. Joyce. We find gladness in doing and serving our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say unadulterated? Because he talks about it in here. He says that we would what? Serve Him unashamedly, but unadulterated. Why? Because it'll be in holiness and it'll be in righteousness. The idea of holiness means the nature of our character. The nature of our character. That our character would be sanctified. Our motive and mission would be pure. Honestly, the integrity of the servant who's been delivered to this lifestyle serve the Lord with a character that is like God. Why? Because as we was reading through the book of Psalms this past week, in Psalms chapter 4 we read in particular that the Scripture says He wants us to know, but know this, that God has set apart for Himself everyone who is godly. Set apart from Himself. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's why Jesus said, if a man is not born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. He shall not enter the kingdom of God. What has to happen to us to be able to be a servant that serves Him without shame and without defilement? What has to happen? God's got to do something to us. Amen. You have to be born again. You have to have a new nature. You have to be regenerated and washed by the Holy Spirit. God has to make you into a new creature. So He begins to make you in His workmanship. And He begins to make you what the Bible would call a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Those who once was in darkness but have been come into the light, who didn't know the Lord but now know Him, who didn't have mercy but now have it. For what purpose? To give Him praise and to praise Him and to honor Him and glorify Him, to let the world know. And it comes from a motive that is pure and a mission that is pure. It's set apart for God's work. Aren't you glad for grace? Amen. And then He says, you also in righteousness. That speaks of the nature of our conduct. That in what we do would be right, Zane. It would be godly. It would be God-honoring. It would represent Him. It would be according to His standards. Delivered us to. This would mean that when I sin, I would have to also repent. Amen. Remember what the Bible says about King David? God said He searched for a man who was after His own heart. David was a man who would do all His will. But David sinned, didn't he? But David also had a longing and a passion. David also said, my heart is like the ground without water. I long and thirst for you, O Lord. You see, David was a man that would do the entire will of God. That would mean that when he would transgress the covenants of God, he would be a man that would acknowledge that. And he would repent of that. And he would confess that. And Robin, he would forsake that. And God said he just kept pouring mercy on David's life. He kept pouring mercy on him. And listen, folks, you're not going to escape the reality and the results of sin in this old world and the consequences of that, but you can be delivered from its penalty. You can be delivered from its power. You can be delivered from the influence of it and the work of Satan. You can be delivered from all that. But I want you to get an idea in here today that when you've been delivered to a ministry unto the Lord that is without shame and without adulterated influence of this old world, folks, when you do stumble and you do fall and you do commit sin, there's something called the Holy Spirit unction. It's called the conviction of God. God begins to deal with you. He's got preachers. He's got teachers. He's got His people that comes to us and reveals and admonishes and warns us to get our life right back with God. And when we are His, delivered from to delivered to, we begin to learn how to live a lifestyle of repentance. Amen? And confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Delivered us from to deliver us to something. You see, delivered and delighted to be dangerously strong. That's true. I want to ask you in here today, would you be able to say that you have been delivered? Do you understand the full meaning of what Christ came to do? You may not understand in here the complete sovereignty of God. You may not be able to explain thoroughly and completely how God took upon and became human flesh. You might not be able to explain that God was 100% man and 100% God. You might not be able to explain the full plan of God and the purposes of all that God is going to do. You may not be able to explain, just clear as a bell right here, why He came. He came to deliver us. He came to set us free. He came to be our King. Yes. In particular, as the passage we read, He came to set the Jews free from oppression, and He's going to do that. There's coming a day. But folks, we can't look at it just nationally. We got to look at it personally. We can't just look at it personally or positionally. We got to look at it practically. He came to deliver you and to deliver me. He came to deliver us to something to work for His glory. So I pray that you would help somebody up this year. Then I pray that you would be an instrument that God could use to be a champion for His kingdom cause. If you want to know how you can help anyone out, you just get them to Jesus Christ. You let them know why He came right here. Don't forget this passage. He came to deliver our enemy. And who is our chief enemy? Who is the biggest problem that we have? Ourselves. He came to deliver people from ourselves. You see, what you're doing is not the biggest problem you have. It's who you are. You don't belong to Jesus today, it's who you are. It's the problem. You yield your life. Submit to Him. Listen for His voice. The Bible says no man can come to Him unless he's drawn by Him. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now and saying, come, I came and I overshadowed Mary on that day, and I can see within her the Son of the living God by the name of Jesus, because He came to save and deliver His people. I'll come and deliver you today as well. Got to do it. Just give up your life to Him. Surrender to Him. Just yield yourself to Him. God will free you. He'll set you free today. So that you can live a life, as Brother Chris has already said, a life that longs for, to know, to be filled with, to be used. So you could literally say, Lord, send me. Send me. Because He came to deliver me. So folks, Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about Christmas trees or presents under Christmas trees. Christmas is not about a society who's following a worldly system. You know why governments such as Meridian and around the nation, you know why they promote Christmas the way they do? You know why? because of the economic money that they see, the economy. You know, our economy about fall apart and struggle if it wasn't for a season like Christmas. Do you know that? It would. So it would be foolish for a government not to sit and claim. It's not about Walmart greeting you and saying Merry Christmas. That's not about. Folks, don't get caught up in the mundane, routine, silly, stupid society. Christmas is about deliverance. Delivering us from something, from the enemy, and delivering us to something. Unashamed, undefiled, unadulterated worship. Oh, if you in the Walmart things and all these other little bitty things, the enemy's got you. You're right in his hand. He's using you. Let him free you and be a bold, dangerous witness for the kingdom of God and help people get delivered from themselves, from Satan's authority, from society's way, so that they can be delighted in being dangerously strong for the truth as well. Let the Lord use you. Would you stand with me in this invitation? Would you stand with me? Father, we just bless you. Lord, I ask you to speak in this invitation and move upon your people. Lord, help them. Those that need to be delivered, set them free. Free them, Father. Free us to something, your word. In Jesus' name.